We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway.
Get up or get out the way, Trae Young.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm here with Jason Pat. We're talking about a Bulls win, 114-102, over the Toronto Raptors to keep their slim playoff hopes alive. The Bulls are just hanging on by a thread right now, Jason. They got two games left. They are playing the Nets and the Bucks. The Bulls need to go 2-0 in those games. Meanwhile, the Wizards have to go 0-2. They're playing Cleveland tomorrow night, and then they're playing the Hornets. So the Bulls' playoff odds, I think I saw a number earlier today. Wasn't it like under 5%?
It might even be lower than that. Maybe since they won tonight, it went up a little bit. I feel like I saw Cody Westland say it was like 1% right now, but I'm not totally sure where he looked.
But Bulls win, so they did keep their slim playoff hopes alive. We thought that this podcast would possibly be like RIP their season for all intents and purposes, but the Bulls come out tonight and they play a pretty good game. One of the better games of Lauri Markkanen's season. He finishes with 20 points. He was on fire from three, man. 6 of 9 shooting from three. He only made 1 2-point field goal, but I guess it was good to see Lowry in what I expect to be his final days with the franchise have a good game. Zach also looked good. Zach has looked great the last few games. He had 24 tonight on 8 of 15 shooting. Kobe White had the play of the game, the big dunk that you're going to see on all the highlight packages. He finishes with the double-double, 17 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds. And Vucevic had 16 and 16. So I guess, you know, the Bulls are, they're still in the mix, technically. In my opinion, Jason, this is going to end tomorrow night because I do not expect the Wizards to lose to the Cavs, especially a Cavs team that has plenty of incentive to lose through their lottery odds. But, you know, I guess in a game tonight where the Wizards were resting or didn't have many of their key players, the Bulls were at least able to come out with a win.
Yeah, I mean, the Raptors literally, I think, had like their top 7 or 8 sitting. So basically, I mean, they were playing a G League squad. All right, I bet the Bulls to cover this game. I was tweeting about this. I'm sure people noticed that the Bulls were a 10.5 point favorite. Very confident in the Bulls covering the spread. So when it got close there, I think the Raptors got within 9 because Stanley Johnson was going apeshit in the this all game. I think he had like a career high, like 35. I don't know if it was a career high. It'd be like 35 points. What Raptors got within 9 at one point in the fourth quarter. You mentioned Lowry. Lowry hit a 3 to put it back up to 12. And then for like 3 minutes there, like neither team was able to score. And there was a 12-point game. And I was freaking out because, again, I had Bulls minus 10.5, really dying there. And they win by 12. So they covered. I was fully expecting them to win tonight. The Bulls really their season should have been over last night. The Wizards completely choked away a game against the Hawks down the stretch. They were up 13 in the fourth quarter. They were up late in the game as well. They had the ball up 2 with like 30 to 40 seconds left, and then Clint Capella blocked Russell Westbrook, and multiple Wizards fell down, and John Collins had a game-winning three, and the Wizards went like 9 or 10 straight possessions without a basket, completely falling apart. Scott Brooks didn't play Daniel Gafford. Ironically, like, Daniel Gafford's been crushing it for the Washington Wizards, and I know Wizards fans are just super pissed that Daniel Gafford wasn't playing crunch time minutes, and Alex Len was. I thought the Wizards were going to win that game last night. They blew it. They gave the Bulls another chance tonight. I expected the Bulls to win tonight. It would definitely be very surprising if the Wizards do lose to the Cavs tomorrow. They're back at home in Washington. I did see that I think Darius Garland is now questionable. Garland has been out with an ankle injury. The Cavs did just beat the Celtics, who are like tanking in their own right. I know the Celtics didn't have a bunch of guys when they did play. They didn't have Tatum, but obviously Brown's out for the year. I think they didn't have Kemba or Marcus Smart. So basically just a trash game. Kevin Love actually had like his one good game of the year, and I think Sexton did as well. So, but like, yeah, I mean, the Wizards will be focused. They won't have Beal still. I have to think that they win this game tomorrow and the Bulls season. Like, if not, I mean, crazier things have happened. The Bulls, like you said, they play the Nets at, what is it, noon, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I believe the Nets will probably be trying in that game. They did just get James Harden back. He looked great against the Spurs the other night. They'll have a couple days off. They are still fighting for the two seed, and the Bucks won tonight. So I think the Bucks right now are like a half game back of the Nets. And I mean, obviously with the Nets, when it comes down to it, the health is the biggest factor for them. But I mean, I think they would still like to get that two seed. Okay, so the Nets are one game ahead of the Bucks, and I think they both have back-to-back. So I think that being an early Saturday game, I do think the Nets will probably be trying to win. I would guess Harden plays in that game, given they have a couple days off. We'll see about Kyrie. Kyrie obviously took that elbow in the Bulls game from Nikola Vucevic, did not play against the Spurs the other night. But I kind of think they probably want to get at least some time with their three stars together. They've only played seven games. So I do kind of think the Nets are going to go for that, try to win that game, at least to start it. So if the Bulls do, or if the Wizards do lose to the Cavs somehow, I then would not expect the Bulls to beat the Nets that day. If they somehow do that, the Wizards then play the Hornets, who are sucking really bad. So that's another game where I would think the Wizards would win. I wonder if Beal would come back in a, basically like a win or like a do or die scenario with this hamstring issue he's got, maybe. And then again, the Bulls play, I think it's 7 or 8 at night against the Bucks. If that game still matters, we'll see if the Bucks try in that game. Because I guess if the Bucks do beat the Nets, then the Bucks would probably, or if the Bulls do beat the Nets, I guess the Bulls would then try to beat, or the Bucks would be trying to beat the Bulls. So if the Bucks don't rest guys, that again will be a very tough game. That's why, as Patrick here in the comments noted, it's like under 1% chance, 0.3% chance, because the odds of the Bulls beating the Nets and Bucks, assuming they're not resting guys, and then the Wizards losing to two bad teams in the Cavs and Hornets at home, is not very high. I guess we've seen crazier things. I guess at least the Bulls didn't lose to the Raptors tonight, a G League Raptors team. Like, that would have been just a depressing way to end the season. I know the Raptors clinched like the seventh spot in the lottery. We didn't give a shit about that stuff anyways at this point. So at least the Bulls didn't go out super sad tonight.
Yeah, I've been seeing some people on Raptors Twitter being like, oh, it's nice that Raptors fans are getting into the draft. Well, we told ourselves that lie so many times, Jason. And, you know, at this point in the season, I'm just not super worried about the Bulls losing the 8th pick in the draft. Like, we've talked about this, obviously, on every episode, but maybe it's because they whiffed on Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter, and Kobe looked pretty good this game. We've discussed Kobe at length. I like the discussion you had with Kevin and with Stefan on the pod on Tuesday, talking about Kobe and maybe his place in the franchise long term. But certainly, you know, the idea of Kobe White as the point guard of the future isn't going to bear fruit. Another decent game for Kobe tonight. But, you know, I'm fine with the trade still for Vucevic. The one part of the trade that I wish didn't have to happen is the Aminu inclusion, because Aminu has just given the Bulls absolutely nothing. And he's still on the books for $10 million next year. I think that is a pretty huge bummer for a team that clearly still has a lot of work to do and is trying to make a big splash in free agency. One new addition from the Bulls we did see make a decent impact tonight was Javonte Green, who's been in the rotation a little bit recently. He had 10
taking Denzel's spot, basically.
Yeah, he had 10 points in 13 minutes. He hit a couple threes. You know, the one thing that jumps out about Javonte Green is that this Bulls team does not really have any athleticism on the entire team outside of LaVine. Like, Kobe had the awesome dunk today, but Kobe is a below-the-rim player. He's a perimeter player all the way. Vucevic can't jump to save his life.
No, he cannot.
Pat Will's got some springs for sure, but he's not exactly the quickest guy. Thad is in year 14, so you can't expect too much out of him. Then you're looking at the other guys who played tonight, Markkanen, Temple, Satoransky. None of those guys are even average NBA athletes. Maybe Temple still is, but he's older than me, I think. So it's just nice to have one guy with bounce on the team in Javonte Green. And I feel like, you know, just like the NBC Sports Chicago crew is really hyping up Javonte Green.
Man.
And I think Darnell wrote something about him, too.
Recently. He did. Yeah.
I don't see Javonte Green as a likely long-term fit on this roster, but the Bulls should try to target people with some athleticism, because it is nice to have one clearly above average NBA athlete on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to bring him back for like the minimum next year, sure. I mean, he'll better use of the contract spot than like fucking Felicio and like Archie Diacono at least. Like, yeah, I mean, he's basically kind of like the new Shaq Harrison. And like, obviously, like I like Shaq Harrison. It's nice to have that like athleticism, like you said, athleticism guy that tries hard off the bench. If he's like your 13th or 14th man, like he's not a guy that like, if any, like I know people, like you said, hyping, like some people have been hyping him up. Like, I mean, he didn't play much in Boston. He wasn't very good in Boston, but like he gave like occasional minute, like decent minutes. So like, whatever, fine. Like if the Bulls want to bring him back to be an end of the bench guy, and if you need to use him as a spark, like totally fine. I'm absolutely like down for that. But like, definitely should not have any expectations of Javonte Green like being like a legitimate rotation guy next year. I mean, if anything, I mean, Troy Brown should be over him in the rotation probably. And yeah, that's, I guess, basically my thought on Javonte Green. But yeah, nice game tonight. Like I said, I'm not really not taking anything from tonight's game. I mean, again, yeah, you said Lowry had a nice game, basically just shooting threes, like good for him. Kobe had a double-double, did have 10 assists, good for him there. I mean, but they were playing a G League roster. Like, I was disappointed they didn't win this game by more. I know they were up like 24 or 25 at one point, and it got a little close at the end. But don't take much from games like this when the Raptors have seven guys and like literally like their top seven or eight. Gary Trent didn't even play either. Yeah, Gary Trent and Boucher were available. Like the two guys who might have been like good. I know Stanley Johnson had a huge game, but like they didn't even play. It was literally like the bottom half of the Raptors roster playing in this game. So I'm not taking basically much of anything. Nice to see Javonte Green at least get minutes and play well over Denzel.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'll get a comment here from Patrick again. Team lost their all-star guard for the home stretch. Show and Miley lost their all-star center for a few games. Is it wrong to say somewhat impressed they're not eliminated yet, or is it the underperformance injury issues of the Wizards that the only reason it's not 100% impossible? I mean, I can't say I'm like impressed by the Bulls not being eliminated. They're still 30 and 40. They did have a few like decent wins in there that I probably didn't expect. Like, I didn't expect them to win that second Heat game. Like, they finished that game nice. I didn't expect them to beat the Celtics twice. Like the game they won on the road in Boston, I know Tatum was a joke. It was terrible. But the Bulls are down double digits that game. They could easily rolled over in that game. They came back. So they've had a couple decent wins. Like, I mean, this time of the year is just going to be just so weird with guys missing time, especially this season. Teams all over the place are missing key players. Like, I mean, the Wizards, they just lost Bradley Beal at an inopportune time. If Bradley Beal doesn't go down, they probably win one of these games, and the Bulls are probably eliminated by now. Like I said, I don't want to say, like, I'm super impressed by what the Bulls have done, that they still are alive for these last couple games. I will say that it's at least nice that they are, and like that they didn't go out super sad, and that there's at least something to pay attention to in the last weekend of the season. I mean, we haven't had that in since the Bulls went to the playoffs with Jimmy Butler. So it is at least kind of nice to at least be like not totally, totally tuned out of this team. And then we've actually done like multiple podcasts this week because it's like, hey, the Bulls are kind of still alive, even if the chances are super slim. But like, it's nice to talk about the team and actually talk about games in this final week of the season.
Hey, so shout out to the play-in tournament, because without the
play-in tournament. Yeah, true. That it is the play-in tournament basically doing that, because they would be eliminated if it was just the top eight. But whatever, I'll take it.
Do you think the Bulls swing the trade for Vucevic without the play-in tournament?
I kind of think they still do. I'm going to say they weren't that far back of eight, I feel like, at that point. I mean, I think they expected probably to just be much better here in the second half of the season, that they could have gotten the eighth. I mean, we were talking like, oh, like maybe they could get to seven or six, because they were definitely not that far back of like those spots. Because I mean, we obviously, like, some of these teams like the Knicks, the Hawks, the Heat, they've really caught fire here down the stretch of the season. So like, they've kind of separated themselves a bit. But like, again, when that trade happened, the Bulls, I think, were at 4 or 5 games under. The teams that were like fifth, sixth, seventh, I think, were like right around 500. So like, I feel like they probably thought, hey, we can make this move and maybe get high, go on a run, and maybe get up to 5 or 6. And then we'll obviously have Vooch for next year. So I do kind of think that they thought that they could even get in the regular playoffs with the trade.
It's, you know, it's just really a thought exercise. I've also been thinking what they would have had to give up for Vooch if they swung this trade in the offseason. Obviously, this year they got really unlucky with both LaVine's ankle injury and then the LaVine COVID absence. But I do think there's a way to spin this with some silver linings into next season. And we're going to have plenty of episodes to talk about that. But, you know, it does feel like the Bulls do have a few things going for them. Mostly that Zach is awesome. Vooch has been solid as hell since they got him. I mean, you really can't ask for much more than what he's given them. You know, I listened to the conversation for the Tuesday episode with Stefan and Kevin, and they were talking about how Pat, you know, hasn't been used in the right way, and they're basically just throwing him to the wolves, having him defend the best players in the league, and he's just getting schooled by those guys again and again. So I do agree with that, but my only counter to that is, like, in the same thing with like Kobe playing point guard, is like, I do think the best way to learn is to just have that experience. And, you know, maybe Pat will, like, have, you know, he'll, that experience will help him going into next season, just going against the best guys in the world. Of course, he wasn't successful in that role. And, you know, it would be impossible to expect him to be successful in that role, even in his second season when he's going to be 20 years old. But you got to think, just like, seeing those scenarios in front of you teaches you some tricks of the trade. Maybe the same thing with Kobe as a ball handler and as a facilitator. I don't think that Kobe should ever be put in the position to be the point guard for this franchise moving forward, at least for the next like couple seasons, if he's going to be around, because he's proven that he's like far away from being able to handle that role successfully. But I also think that like seeing the patterns on the floor again and again might help him in his long-term development. So this is me trying to be optimistic. The season where the Bulls couldn't even be the 10th best team in the Eastern Conference, when they don't even have a draft pick to show for it. And it's okay. I'm not freaking out about it. I think there are some positives to take into next season. And, man, hopefully Karnišovas can do what he did at the trade deadline and flip over the other half of this roster.
Yeah, I saw our guy Mark kind of addressing those points as well tonight, just now, like about 20, 30 minutes ago on Twitter, talking about Kobe specifically, just about his usage and role, and like how he didn't love how Donovan basically just rolled with like the all young starting lineup. I do kind of understand that. And again, we did kind of talk about that on Tuesday as well, that they did go with like the all young starting lineup. Like, I was surprised that Bill Donovan went with Patrick Williams over Otto Porter. I know Otto Porter is basically useless at this point. But like, I was still kind of surprised that he stuck that he went with that lineup to start with and then stuck with it for so long. I mean, and I know Mark was bringing up the Chris Paul thing, and we've talked about Chris Paul as well. Like, or I mean, you mentioned Vucevic. Like, if they would have tried pulling that trade in the offseason, how much better would they have been? Like, would that have helped Kobe's development? I mean, probably. I mean, maybe they should have been a bit more aggressive, because obviously the whole thing coming in this year was it's an evaluation season. Like, AK is going to be very deliberate before he makes any big decisions. I mean, I think you can argue that maybe they should have done more in the offseason to make changes, and just kind of standing pat for half a season wasn't the right way to go. I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, in terms of the optimism, I did say here, like in the chat, and I've said, like, I mean, I even said last pod that I think the Bulls, a reasonable expectation for them is like mid 40s and wins next season. Even if they don't do anything like huge in the offseason, like that is a pretty big jump. But like, if these two guys stay healthy, you got two all-star players. I know they're not like high level all-stars, but like Zach's taking a leap. Vooch is solid. You add at least a few decent pieces in there, and you get some other development from Pat, from Kobe, if he's still around. Like, I mean, I don't think it's crazy for the Bulls to become a mid 40s, maybe high 40s if things go right. I mean, we've seen the Knicks take it. I mentioned the Knicks last time. Like, the Knicks have taken this huge leap. The Hawks have taken a huge leap this season with some development there and with some key veterans in there as well. It's, I mean, they're the 4 seed right now. The Knicks are the 6 seed. So, like, I think those are the kind of expectations that we should have next season, especially if they do make some nice moves. So, I guess we'll see.
For sure. But we're going to have plenty of time to talk about next season for the rest of the summer. For now, yeah. Jace, Bulls truly down to their last bullet. And even that doesn't show their desperation. Like, they probably got no chance. The season is probably ending. But they beat the 905 Raptors tonight. So
they did.
Their day.
Let's wrap up here. Just, we have a question from Jafar about LaVine. I did want to bring up some LaVine stuff before we finish up, just because there were some reports out there today. Jafar's question is just, what are the chances LaVine potentially walks next offseason if the Bulls don't make the playoffs? I guess some of that depends on if they try to sign him to extension this offseason. That was kind of the stuff that there's some stuff out there. This was from Cowley. I know, whatever you think of Joe Cowley, like, he was talking about how, oh, LaVine might be willing to take a slight discount. I'm not even sure if he was referring to like this offseason. Again, the Bulls can offer like a normal extensions, like 4 years, like $105 million. He's not taking that, obviously. They can use cap space to do like renegotiate an extension where you can get up to like $30 million a year. I mean, maybe that, like, if that's what he's referring to, like, would he do that this year? And like, maybe go for, again, like $30 million. Maybe it's not like a max. It wouldn't be the full max, but maybe he'd be willing to do that and just get that security. I would be surprised by that. I think Zach should fucking wait and just like go for the full max next offseason. I do not expect him to take a discount. I do not think he necessarily should. He's been playing on a bargain deal right now. So if he should go for that full max, I guess I don't even know if the Bulls would be willing to give it to him. I do think the Bulls like him. It seems like with this Vucevic trade, they're kind of going in on Zach's prime. So I'd be surprised by that discount thing if that actually ended up being true. Like, I would expect him to wait. I don't think he'll get an extension this all. I don't think he'll agree to one, because I think he should go for that max. I feel like he should wait, and I think he kind of will maybe see like what's going on like next season. I know he loves playing in Chicago. He probably loves like being the man here. But like, if they, again, they're probably not going to make the play in here next season. If they somehow did fall short and like they'd really disappointed again, like, why would he stay other than the fact that the Bulls can't offer a ton in a big market and he can be the guy in the big market? But the dude's never, like, he's going in an unrestricted free agency on a Bulls team where he'd be 0 for 5 at that point in terms of playoff boards, 0 for 8 in his career. Like, would you blame him at all if he did walk?
Dude, I hated that report from Kali today about him taking a discount. That just, like, made my blood curdle. Because now if he doesn't take it, it's going to be like, oh, Zach only cares about the money,
right,
about the team. Fuck that, dude. Zach has been the only guy worth a damn on this team since he arrived. Absolutely not should he take a discount. He already suffered one major injury. To be honest, he already has generational wealth just from that $80 million deal.
Yeah.
But no, cash in again. I think that he has absolutely earned a big payday. I do not think Zach LaVine should give the Bulls a discount.
I agree.
And basically, the only way he's going to give the Bulls a discount is if he re-signs this summer. So, no. Don't do it, Zach. Get every penny that you are worth. And I do want to see Zach stick around. I know you said, you know, I'm sure he loves Chicago. I'm sure he loves being the man. He probably hates losing, though.
Yes. I mean, we hear it every year.
And he's the only one who takes accountability. Yeah. You know, like, for the entire start of his career, like, Garpax never took accountability for building a shitty team. Boylan never took accountability for being a terrible head coach. But Zach would show up and he'd be like, hey, it's on me. I'm the best player. We stink. Blame me. So he's the only one who's shown any leadership qualities. So, you know, if he does get another opportunity elsewhere, I think it is possible he could take it. Honestly, though, I don't expect the Bulls to lose Zach LaVine. And I don't expect Zach LaVine to give the Bulls a discount. And I don't think Zach LaVine should give the Bulls a discount. He should get his worth. And that means getting every single dollar you can.
I absolutely agree. Go get that money, Zach. There was the other thing that I saw about, like, Bradley Beal as well, about, like, the Bulls possibly keeping an eye on him. I don't want to go too long in this, obviously, at all, but, like, I mean, it's something we've talked about. We talked, like, I know the trade stuff has died down with Bradley Beal, because obviously the Wizards have made this run. Westbrook's been great. But I mean, I think it does make sense. Like, if the Bulls can't get, like, a legitimate point guard upgrade, like, you can do worse than, I think this would more be a 2022 free agency thing. You could do a lot worse than trying to go get Bradley Beal and have Beal, Zach, and Vucevic. I know maybe not defense, but, like, it'd be a fun as hell team. It'd score a lot. Maybe not a championship, like, level team, just because I don't think the defense would be good enough unless, like, Pat turns into a monster and you get, like, another real stud guy there. But, like, it'd be fun as hell.
That would be – as soon as I saw that report, that team would be really fun. That would be the worst defensive team in NBA history.
I mean, I don't know if it'd be that bad, but it would definitely not be good. Again, you bank on Pat becoming just a total stud defensively, and you would need, like, just a total stud, like, 3-and-D wing around
those. But get worse as they get older defensively, too. Like, Beal is as bad defensively as people think LaVine is, you know? And
yeah, I mean, the Wizards' defensive has been awful this year.
Vooch is – he's probably better than people think he is, but it's like – how's he going to be 2 years from now? You know? Like,
probably not great. I mean, again, this is just probably a long shot again, but, like, if the Bulls wanted to do that, I would, I mean, like I said, this would be more just, like, entertainment. I think they'd be a fun, they'd win a lot of games, just they'd be so talented offensively. Probably not championship level because, like you said, the defense would just be, it would be hard to put together a championship level defense. But
with that being said, I have to say, I'm still in favor of the Bulls getting Bradley Beal. Like,
yeah,
why not?
Absolutely. The dude's an all-star. Yeah.
Star here. So yeah. Get Bradley Beal. That'd be fun.
It would be fun. All right. That we'll wrap it up here. Like I said, not really much to say about tonight's game. It was a game they should have won by a lot. They basically controlled the whole thing. And now we just go into this final weekend of the regular season. Again, the Bulls still do need a miracle. To recap it one more time, the Wizards play at home against the Cavs on Friday night. Very good chance the Bulls' season basically ends with tomorrow night, because I would guess the Wizards do win. But if not, if the Wizards lose, the Bulls play the Nets Saturday, 12 p.m., I believe, Chicago time, against a Nets team that will probably be trying. That will be a very tough game, obviously. The Bulls just lost to a Nets team that didn't have Harden, and they didn't have Kyrie for like half, and the Bulls still lost. That game is in Brooklyn. And if it somehow gets to Sunday where the Bulls still have a chance, they got home against the Bucks. Home against the Charlotte Hornets, which, again, that'd be the odds are against them that day too as well. But maybe something absolutely crazy will happen. The Bulls can get in this play-in tournament. If they don't, it is what it is. Obviously, I think we're kind of resigned to it at this point. It would be kind of hilarious if they did somehow get in, because I think they'd have a decent chance. If it was them, they'd play the Pacers. They can obviously beat the Pacers. Are banged up. They could beat them, and it'd be them and the Hornets or Celtics. Maybe I think Celtics and Pacers are pretty, or Hornets and Celtics are pretty. Or I can't speak. Hornets and Pacers, I think, are close as well. But, like, those other teams in that play-in tournament are absolutely like, garbage. And the Bulls have kind of handled all of them. And they're all, like, hurt. They're all banged up. Like, they all kind of suck. Like, maybe the Hornets would get, like, Hayward back. And if they're a healthier Hornets team would be a lot better. But, yeah. So we'll see. Again, final weekend. We'll see how it goes. If the Bulls are still alive on Saturday, I know, Ricky, I think you're going to be out. You'll be busy. I might do something myself. We'll see. Especially, I guess, if they win Saturday. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But that'll be all for us here at Cash Considerations, the Chicago Bulls podcast. As always, Shout out to the Blue Wire Network. Thank you to the couple guys in here that did have comments for us. Always good to answer you guys' comments. Please rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us those 5-star ratings. We're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all those good places. You know where to find us on Twitter. I'm at @Bulls_J. Ricky is at @SBN_Ricky. So for Jason and Ricky and the Cash Considerations Podcast, we'll talk to you guys next time, and we'll see if the Bulls can make the miracle.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.